welcome to another edition of Community Tides. I'm Chris Bricker, and on alternate Fridays during the noon hour, I join my co-host, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation, to explore new developments, new paradigms, as we face the future of challenges and innovations and adaptations right here in Jefferson County. The Community Boat Project. It's a job training program aligned with the nearby Northwest School of Wooden Boat Building. Based out of Port Hadlock, the Community Boat Project provides hands-on, meaningful, organic learning experiences. Partners with teens with high-capacity adult human mentors and unique programs that focus on real work, critical thinking, and human social skills. Their mission? To build a stronger community by giving youth job and life skills through adult mentorship. Enter Wayne Cimenti and his wonderful crew of mentors. Wayne is a master mariner, master rigger and sailmaker, and he has 31 years in sail training, on-the-water programs with 20 different schooners. Square riggers throughout the world have given Wayne a unique view of the horizon. Now settled into Maristone Island, Wayne spends his time not only mentoring students in the way of the sea, but he also uses his degree in marine biology and a passion for the environment to educate youth on eco-appropriate manner of going on the water. On the land, based on lessons from the sea, interns and students from the Community Boat Project are building tiny houses. The project has not only worked with Bayside Housing and Services in the fall of 2021 by constructing the Golden Fig Cottage, one of 12 shelters at Peter's Place, a traditional housing village also in Port Hadlock, but the project has also committed to two more tiny house villages for farm workers in and around Chimicum. Wayne Cimenti of the Community Boat Project, welcome to Community Tides.
Thank you, Chris.
Wayne, it's so exciting to see you. I haven't seen you since the beginning of the pandemic, and this also marks the first time we've had a guest in studio since the beginning of the pandemic. So thanks for taking us into a new era today. And there's so much to talk about here. So before we get to the question about how you all got into tiny houses, why don't you give our listeners a sense of kind of the overview of Community Boat Project, its history and its mission?
Well, you know, we've been going for nearly 30 years, be 30 years next year, which started with me working with Marcy Van Cleef. Marcy Van Cleef's innovative, award-winning educator who started some of the first alternative programs in the state of Washington back in the late 80s and the 90s. And she wanted to do outward-bound style experiential education on the water program. At that stage, the Wooden Boat Foundation was out of Cupola House with one employee. Basically, it was a boat nuts coming together. But she wanted to include kids in that. So with Scott Swatner, they had the boat school build a longboat and then wanted to launch something. So that was the beginning of what we call Puget Sound Explorers, which is morphed into Voyagers, and it's been going for nearly 30 years. Then about 15 years ago, with all the changes that were going on with the Wooden Boat Foundation changing into the Northwest Maritime Center, and also us just really, with 15 years of experience on the water, we wanted to build the perfect youth craft. And so Marcy said, well, why don't we just do that at the boat school with high school kids? And so that led to this great partnership where the boat school were able to lead us through this process with high school kids. Of course, they're usually working with adults. And we were able to build our first youth voyaging vessel, which then led to another one the next year. We thought we would just have this thing operating for 1 or 2 years. But what happened was something surprising. You know, when you go on a boat, there's only a certain amount of people that can go there, and it only appeals to a certain amount of folks, too, and high schoolers. But once you opened up a shop, then suddenly all sorts of adults, I mean, this is a very talented town, and it's got lots of retirees, and it always just blows me away when I meet people, and it's, oh, yeah, I was working on the Apollo project. Oh, I was, a astrophysicist. Oh, I was a clown at Ringling Brothers, whatever. And
or the guy sitting next to me, as one of my fellow DJs said when I first came into town, he says, you could be sitting there having a beer with somebody, and you say, what did you do? Oh, I used to be president of the world.
Right. Damn close to it. So is people just start showing up at the shop and like, hey, I'm a, you know, a violin maker and I really want to come in here and, you know, I don't know anything about boats or, you know, anything. I'm an architect, but what, you know, can I be here? And we just said, yes, you can be here because not every kid wants to build boats. What do you want to bring to the table? You bring it to the table and we'll put the kid at a table with you. So what evolved over, you know, now we've been operating for 15 years is anybody can walk in, whether you're an artist or a physicist, and there's a place where you can use your talents. And we can then offer to these high schoolers, okay, you're coming in here. What do you want to do? You want to build a boat? You want to build a tiny house? You want to build a, you want to do some artwork? Well, grab this mentor. And then you're working almost one-on-one. And the level of education is huge at that stage.
So tell us a little bit about the young people that you work with. Who are they?
Well, we, of course, are down in Hadlock. So we work very closely with Chimicum School District. So it's tri-area youth. It's the Hadlock, Irondale, Chimicum kids. We have kids that come up all the way from Quilcene, and we also have Port Townsend kids that come in because some of our programs are really unique and they want to be a part of it. We work with probably 80% of kids who are in alternative programs. This is a great place for a homeschooler or somebody from Pi or Ocean, you know, anybody who's just not maybe not making it in school, you know, maybe need a little bit something more. So we can actually craft an educational program around a kid. So if they're missing some math skills, well, hey, let's build a boat, but we're going to take a math take on it.
Let's talk about that because this is a kind of personal to me, especially the panorama of kids that you're dealing with. And my son, for example, had really not anything stellar as far as his academic environment. He had very few role models, very few mentors that entered into his life, but there were a couple that enabled him to keep his self-esteem and his ability to continue with his interests. But he was a hands-on learner as opposed to being able to translate something from the blackboard, you know, through his noggin to his hand to make notes and that kind of thing. And so I imagine you're encountering all kinds of learning styles, regardless of economic status or whatever.
Yeah, and I'll just say, let me just preface this by saying I'm a big supporter of public education, and thank God the school districts are there. But even if a school district wants to be innovative, there is so much state regulation on them that you're basically teaching to one type of learner. You got to come in, it's a 45-minute class, and this is what we're offering as a smattering, and you start at this time, and you end at that time. A lot of it has just been proven not to work. What I say is that I don't want a kid for less than 3 hours, because how can you pull out the tools, brainstorm what you're doing, get to work, and then clean up afterwards? And these are all not only job skills, they're life skills. And then they get to meet adults. So adults who, oh, I've never thought about doing this. And they're sitting around, they're, you know, they're chewing the fat. You're one-on-one, you're not, you know, one-on-20. So that adult has got time for you. And then, of course, if you have all those adults in the room, that's a web into the community. So if some kid, you know, we do have a lot of kids who are just not going to go to college. Or kids who are so smart, they are absolutely bored. So we get both ends of that spectrum. But, you know, how do I crack the job market? Oh, you mean you could hook me up with somebody down at the port, or you know a contractor I could go to work for, or hey, you know a potter I can go work with, and then boom, they've got their first step. The worst is somebody come out of high school, doesn't have social connections, and they fall into the hole, and that hole can be pretty deep, particularly if you don't have a functional family trying to help you out of it.
Right. There's also the other part of the community that is in big need of a place to live. Speaking of family environments and speaking of people having an ability to make a choice as to where they're going to be able to afford to live. The Community Boat Project is into building tiny homes now, and I want to know how that particular thing evolved.
One thing that we try to do is follow the needs of the community. And there was a time that this community needed a lot of on-the-water programs, and they needed a lot of experiential education programs. And that has filled in by other groups. But what does it need right now? And this is really, you know, I came into the county in the mid-80s, and you know, I could buy a piece of land on Maristone for $25,000. I could not live in Port Townsend. You would not attract Wayne Cimenti to Port Townsend anymore because it just could not happen. it could not financially happen, no matter how much I wanted it to happen. So I have a soft spot for the people who want to stay in this county. And so housing has become a huge issue over the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, it's come on us really hard and fast. And then with that, you don't have housing. You don't have workers. So you look around, everybody needs a worker. There was the days that, you know, it was so hard to go down and get a job in the shipyard. And now they are just begging for workers. Contractors come in. I'm honestly about once a month, a contractor will call me. Give me anybody. If they're breathing and you've taught them to show up on time and use some basic tools, I'll take them.
That's what I'm hearing. Show up on time and work hard.
Right. So there's three values that we always have is, you know, one is show up, be on time, and communicate. If you're not going to show up on time because of whatever reason, communicate that to your boss. And you would think that everybody knows this. And I don't want to sound like a curmudgeon, but it is just a generation which have not been given that message very clearly. So that's a big part of the message we try to get through. I don't care if you just want a day off. I don't care if your friend wants to take you joyriding, but you need to call me in the morning and let me know that you're not going to be here. So that's part of the life skills. No matter how well you're trained, if you don't have life skills, you're not going to make it. So job and life skills go hand in hand.
Wayne, let's go back to the evolution of the pivot to housing. I know that a few things have grown from there. You all have houses dotted around our community now. Tell us about the houses. Where are they? And how do those happen?
Right. As we're constantly searching for what is a great youth project. You know, boats can be pretty tricky to build. And so unless you're really attention focused, very precise, it can be a tough one. It's not that way with a house. You know, if your cut's a little off, you nail it, you cover it with something, or it's just a piece of 2x4, who cares? You know, we'll go buy another one. You're buying expensive boat wood, that's something else. So we tried building our first tiny house, I think it was in 2013. And we built it with a lot of curves. So we said, okay, we're going to build a boat, but it's not going to be as precisely as a boat. It's going to turn into a house. Every wall was curved, roof, everything. We were still thinking we are boat builders. It turned out the kids loved that project. And so there are a couple of things. One is it really suits youth as far as a great project. And the timeline on it is good. It takes a long time to build a boat. It doesn't take long to put up a tiny house. Art can then go on it as crazy as you want. But the other thing we're finding is that a lot of youth, particularly we work with some, I would say impoverished youth, the notion of home ownership is almost impossible. But when they say, look, I just built a tiny house, I could go build that for myself, and now I've got a home. And so it gives them this notion of hope. I could build this thing for, $3,000, and I'd have housing, and I wouldn't have to rent. So we have 14 houses scattered around Jefferson County. And I will say that big percentage of them are illegal because we would finish them off and what do we do with them? And so we would sell them at that stage and just to get materials back. And we would sell them as long as they stayed in Jefferson County.
And to be clear, illegal means not necessarily up to permanent living code.
I mean, if somebody decides to put that in their backyard.
It was legal to build, legal to own, but not up to legal code.
Right.
So there's an interesting juxtaposition because you've got these kids. What's the age range of these kids that you're working with?
Well, right now we're working with everything from high schoolers to interns.
Okay.
And so I will say that, so then Bayside Housing comes in and then we up our game to, okay, let's build something really to code that they can just have. They can work with the county to put it on legally. So I would say over the last 3 years, our original mentality has changed.
Wayne, sorry to cut you off. We're short on time, and I want to make sure that our community knows how they can support your wonderful work.
Right. I have a website, so you can just go right on there, and you can donate to us, and whether you're going to send us a check or walk on down the shop or see what we're doing. And, of course, the best opportunity that's coming up is that United Good Neighbors is having their campaign, which is going to kick off real soon here. And it's very simple to go on to the Jefferson County Community Foundation website and look for Jeff Gives and then just go right to us and donate online.
And one more question before we sign off, and that is, what kind of a feeling does that give you when you see one of your kids actually go out there and get a job?
Oh, that is the greatest thing because you just know that he's on the first step to being a mature, functioning adult.
With a home.
With a home.
Maybe. Wayne Chimenti, thank you so much for joining us from the Wooden Boat Community Boat Project. I guess a wooden boat school, community boat project, but it's all one thing, isn't it? It's all part of the community.
It's all part of the community.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Wayne, and for all your wonderful work in our community.
Thanks. And it was great to be here live because I hate to be here dead.
We'll see you next time. Thank you, Siobhan.
Thanks, Chris.